When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codename Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. There is so much stuff happening in the world. I can't remember when which episode is coming out, but there were several other train derailments quite recently, and they did not make the news. So we're keeping an eye on that. There's a mystery fleet that's expanding across the globe, illegally moving Russian oil. Warhawks are saying Iran is 12 days away from making material for a nuclear bomb, if so they choose. And we're not talking about any of that this time. We're exploring some strange stories that also, like so many other things, occur below the fold and need more attention. There is hope for combating asteroids in outer space. This is true. The president of Mexico turns out to be kind of a fan of cryptids. And before we get to any of that, it turns out that the U.S. Marshals Service got hacked. Now, you might say, I'm not a U.S. Marshal. That doesn't matter to me, but maybe wait for a second. This is a weird one. You found this one, Matt.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about it in just a second. I think it's important we mention a couple things about the train derailments before we jump into this, because we saw in Florida an example of what happens when a train full of, in this case, propane, extremely flammable materials derails. And it's really dangerous. It's a very, very dangerous situation. But we've seen the reaction to it and the response to it in the way that we have mentioned and maybe hoped to have seen in East Palestine. Because that train, the materials were siphoned out of the derailed train and they were moved out of there. The train was either removed or put back on the tracks, depending on which ones you're talking about, like individual rail cars. Mm-hmm. And everybody was safe. No huge fires, no huge explosions, anything like that. It's a little different in East Palestine because there was fire, right, already involved in the situation, but they carefully removed the materials.
They removed a lot of them.
Well, there was no leak. There was no propane leak, at least according to the stories.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Florida. I thought you were talking about
East Palestine. Okay.
No, no. In East Palestine, debacle, horrible situation.
I know.
In Florida, good job, guys. Then the thing in Greece, where dozens of people were killed because a passenger train and a freight train were on the same dang track and just ran smack dab into each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty horrifying. I just wanted to bring those two things up. It's worth your time to at least look at them, see mm-hmm. what happens, and learn a little bit more, maybe on your own, just about how frequent this stuff occurs. Derailments are so frequent.
Almost 2,000 a year in the U.S. alone, and across the world, numbers much higher. Also, in retrospect, I was pretty lucky not to get detained / arrested when I got that wild hair. But in other countries, they are far less reticent about taking reporters out and making them not pass go and not collect $200 or whatever. But be safe out there. And one of the big things to remember is that in many of these situations, the people who are actually running the rails, the people who are running the trains, they are not the problem. They are not the issue. And we hope that if you haven't listened to our episode, East Palestine and Beyond, you do tune in. And please let us know, as we said there, more about the attacks on infrastructure that are occurring on a regular basis and are often somewhat ignored by the news. And ask yourself why they get ignored. And infrastructure, Matt, as we'll see, is not limited to physical things. I think we could say, it's fair to say, right, that nowadays, intangible infrastructure is just as vital, right? We're talking about records stored in the cloud. We're talking about the internet. This is as vital a piece of modern infrastructure as a waterway would have been in times of old. And sadly, just as vulnerable.
Oh, yes. Especially individual servers. So like an individual system that is somewhat separated from the larger infrastructure network of an organization. So that's what we're talking about today. Kind of a separated system, a computer system within the U.S. Marshals Service. So the first thing you may ask yourself is, U.S. Marshals, that sounds really familiar, but what is that? I'm going to give you the mission statement.
Literally a movie called U.S. Marshals, I think, starring Tommy Lee Jones.
Well, there you
sort
go.
Of like a, I think it's either a sequel or I think it's a sequel to The Fugitive, because it was the U.S. Marshals that were chasing that old fugitive, Harrison Ford, that scamp.
Oh, yes. So watch the movie. And then this is their mission statement. The mission of the U.S. Marshals Service is to enforce federal laws and provide support to virtually all elements of the federal justice system by providing for the security of federal court facilities and the safety of judges and other court personnel, apprehending criminals, exercising custody of federal prisoners, and providing for their security and transportation to correctional facilities. There's a little more, almost done. Executing federal court orders, seizing assets gained by illegal means, and providing for the custody, management, and disposal of forfeited assets, and assuring the safety of endangered government witnesses and their families.
WITSEC. Also, I love the idea of something about this story made me go into a brief rabbit hole, man. I was looking up the YouTube clips of like reporters and law enforcement figures, the world around, who have confiscated usually big amounts of cannabis, and their solution is to burn it in a bonfire.
Yeah,
and all huddle around
deep
it.
Breaths. Deep breaths.
These are always amazing.
Hands wafting. Yes. Yes.
But WITSEC, you know, we should also. We were talking about this briefly off air. We should also do an actual episode on WITSEC on. Witness security, or, you know, most people know it as the Witness Protection Program. It's mm-hmm. a very real thing. And some of the people involved in it might be listening to the show today. We promise we won't say your other name.
Also, I mean, you mentioned transporting prisoners, and any one of us have possibly been on a flight where there's, you know, an air marshal. Mm-hmm. Present. And that would be a member of, that's a special designation, but that's a member of the U.S. Marshals Service, right?
It's good that they're there. And, you know, the idea is to blend in like a plain clothes, but you can tell. If you know what to look for, you could tell. Yeah. You know, it's like an agent provocateur at a protest. And you're like, huh, those are general issue boots. You know what I mean?
So next time you're boarding a plane and you're walking down the aisle, if you're in one of those last groups, just keep your eyes out and make sure to find them and then give them a good wink. Maybe a little touch of the nose. It'll go real well.
Because they love that. Just walk by and under your breath go, nice.
I'm joking. Don't go for their gun. No, that was a dumb joke. Do not quote me on that. Do not take that out of context, the internet.
Don't do any of the things we just said. We're completely joking. We're being silly. Okay, so that's what marshals are. That's what they do. They're very, very important to the justice system. And they are the, I think, guys, correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe the U.S. Marshals are the oldest law enforcement organization within the U.S. That may or may not be true, like federal organization, I guess.
Yeah. When you think about marshals in terms of the Old West, they always call them marshal. So I wonder if that's got anything to do with it.
Yeah, they go back to the 1700s, I believe, shortly after the foundation of the country.
Oh, yes. So what happened? They were the targets of a ransomware attack. So this is an attack where, the word hackers comes up. Hackers, some people who are very good at using computer programs to infiltrate other networks, they probably targeted the U.S. Marshals Service. And we just have to read from one of these articles. You can find basically a 4 to 6 paragraph write-up on this in every major news outlet, but it has the same information. I highly recommend heading over to npr.org and reading Jenna McLaughlin's article titled "Hackers Steal Sensitive Law Enforcement Data in a Breach of the U.S. Marshals Service," because this article has a little more breadth than a lot of the other reporting. So we're going to read a little bit of this just so we get an understanding. The U.S. Marshals Service revealed it was the victim of one of these cyber attacks last week. This is published on the 28th of February, by the way. According to a spokesperson of the U.S. Marshals, it was a major incident which impacted a standalone computer system that contained records about targets of ongoing investigations and employee personal data, as well as internal processes of the U.S. Marshals Service.
That's not good.
Well, one thing we've learned over the years here, what is one of the major things the CIA protects of their operations?
Their internal processes.
Yeah, it's the methods used.
The methods, which, according to this reporting and all the other reporting, we don't know if that's essentially what was captured there, right? What are the procedures to get things done, to make things happen? Was it just information about employees? Was it, you know, what do those internal processes mean, basically? But also just records on targets of ongoing investigations. If that information gets into the wrong hands, people who are currently under federal investigation could know about it. And that would be really bad.
Yeah, because you want to keep that information hidden until you have something solid, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the identity of all those air marshals we're talking about that are undercover.
Or the marshals who are, let's say, keeping watch over people in the witness protection program, right? So if you can locate the marshals, then you can triangulate maybe. Like, it's a little scary. Probably really scary, actually, for people who are involved in that program. Here is the next thing, which is important, though. According to that same spokesperson from the Marshals Service, the system that was breached did not include personal details about people in WITSEC, so in the Federal Witness Protection Program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from my understanding, Matt, this included, like you said, personally identifiable information to subjects of investigation and to some employees. But then there's the nebulous third parties clause. They also got something on third parties. And it makes me wonder what a lot of people don't understand when they're script kiddies, which is a derogatory term in the hacking community. When they're script kiddies and they're just like cutting and pasting code or exploits, I don't think a lot of them are aware that some of these systems are designed to bite back. so that such that you might feel you have successfully infiltrated something, but now it's that system has learned more about you and identified you. So it seems pretty ballsy to go against the Marshall's system. And that makes me wonder, would this be like a foreign power? Would it be organized crime? I mean, do we know anything about the possible perpetrator?
Right now, we know nothing. We know that government agencies like this, and especially, you know, intelligence agencies are ripe targets for foreign actors, right? These are pretty nice targets for them. And it is a ransomware attack, but we don't have a ton of details about what actually happened. Like, we've seen here that information was being siphoned off of that server at the Marshall service. Mm-hmm. And then we don't know if the computer was locked, if all the files were just encrypted within that server. We don't know a bunch of specifics, and they're not giving a bunch of specifics, to be honest. At least this was basically something that was put out to Reuters. NBC News ran with it, and everybody else picked up on it. It's literally not known if a ransom was demanded, right? We're calling it ransomware because it appears to have the same types of things happening that a ransomware attack would.
Mm-hmm. And do we know much about potential next steps that the U.S. Marshals have maybe communicated? It feels to me like a lot of the aftermath of this is not going to be public for a minute, right?
No, it's a forensic investigation, right? Like computer forensics investigation that's going to be complicated and probably take a while. The biggest thing is securing other parts of the network that weren't connected, but are similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you imagine somebody broke into a cottage that's on some big property, right? But the cottage is a little further away. It's isolated and separated from the main house or whatever it is. If you're really bougie like that, they broke into that cottage. They got access to everything in there. It's still on the property, but it's not connected. So we got to make sure the main house is secure. I think that's probably what's happening right now.
I mean, that's better than the alternative, right? Which is, you know, the worst case scenario for the protective side, the subject of the hack, the worst case scenario is to not know that a hack has occurred while someone has keys to your house.
Yes.
So they know that part. They know that someone got in. They're not saying publicly who it was, but they're probably going to have to reevaluate or even escalate a lot of operations at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could sell that data. Oh, I can't believe I didn't think about that until just now.
To the highest bidder. I mean, it's essentially like it's government secrets. That's what it is.
Like, Maddie, both hands, we come to you with immense respect and a little tip about our friends in the Marshall Service. You might want to keep an eye on those trucks selling loose cigarettes. I don't know why. That's like where
that's
I'm going.
Funny. I've got a hypothetical for us before we leave. What if you wanted to capture people who were enemies of the Marshall Service? If you wanted to capture people in a net who wanted to do harm to people in the Witness Protection Program, what if you put out a story about a bunch of information being taken from your own servers, right? We have all this information. It was stolen. It's all this valuable stuff. And then you go on the dark web and you set a trap.
A honeypot.
And you say, hey, we're selling this information. And you see who bites. And from that point forward, you actually use it against people. It could be counterintelligence. I'm just saying.
You could use it and not even like snag them right away. You know, just use it to keep tabs.
Mm-hmm. Give them some false info, maybe disinfo. I don't think that's actually what's happening here. That feels too complicated.
Oh, well, but it's a fun idea.
It's an idea.
Fun idea. It's a good idea. Can I just add before we end this? I was just thinking about hackers. I was just going down a rabbit hole of like silly hacker names, and I found a giant list. I just wanted to read some of my favorites. We've got, let's see, Caps Lock Holmes, Babe Root. We've got baby_got.back, which is a file structure. joke. And then we've got Barista Creepshot, Baron Snowcrasher, Bash Cassidy, and Beyonce Knowles. I don't know if any of these are real, but they're fun.
They are very fun. So right now we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back and hear more about this weird picture that a really important person posted.
Oh, come on. Come on. It's proof. All right, whatever. Ads.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Okay, so imagine this. I want to set the stage here, folks. Let's say you live in the United States and you know that these are very divided times and everybody has a Twitter account. And one day President Biden came onto Twitter and said, "Hey guys, I know there's a lot going on." Hang on, let me put my sunglasses on for a Biden impression. "I know there's a lot going on these days, but has anybody seen this picture of the chupacabra? Just look at it. Everything is magical." That's exactly what happened not too long ago in Mexico. Current Mexican president Andrés Manuel López Obrador tweeted the following, and I would like to share this tweet. I'd like to read this to you all. He tweeted two photos. And one is a picture of some ruins, and that's totally in line with, like, these are ancient Mayan ruins. And the other photo on the left, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, it appears to be a creature of some arboreal bent who is kind of hustled up, clinging to the trunk of a tree, kind of high up in the tree.
Did you say an arboreal ent?
Bent.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Isn't an ent like a type of fairy
in
folk?
The Tolkien universe. Yeah.
So that I heard arboreal, and that's what made my brain go to that. But sorry, please continue.
No, it's totally. So this creature, if we're being honest, I just wanted to use the word arboreal. This creature looks like it has a little bit of a hood, and it has two dark beady eyes. Let me share a picture here. I want to see if we can get a good look at this together. Okay. So I've shared the picture with us. Have you guys seen this photo before?
Mm-hmm. You sent it to our group text thread.
Right.
It looked like one of those kind of, what do you call those, ring camera kind of creepy pasta kind of deals. Little bit of the old night vision vibes. Mm-hmm. But a little more palpably something than most of those, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It reminds me of, you know, those little guys in the Star Wars universe?
They got the Jawas?
Jawas. Yeah, Jawas. Just so. It looks like a Jawa that got up a tree.
get that fella down from there. Call the fire department.
Has your Jawa been stuck in a tree? Call us 1-833-STDWYTK. We're getting, it's tough economic times. So we're doing Jawa removal in addition to podcasts now.
Those guys are fierce. They're vicious. They'll bean you with one of those spear staff shillelagh things they carry around.
Leave it to the professionals, folks. We're here for you. And we're here for the president of Mexico in this respect. he said, okay, this tweet went viral. Most people thought he was joking, but he seems to genuinely believe that he is sharing a photo that was taken a few days before he posted. It said it's from an engineer, and he says it appears to be an aluche or almost like a duende, a mischievous woodland elf-like spirit in Maya folklore.
What is it called, Ben? Sorry, I didn't hear.
Aluche.
Okay.
Pardon my pronunciation. A-L-U-X or A-L-U-X-E.
Whoa.
And this is like the kind of spirit you see present in so many other types of folklore across the world. You know, like there's the story of the brownie in parts of Europe. There's the idea of the hidden folk. All kinds of spirits, right, populate belief systems of the world in ancient times to today. But we did not know, Mr. President, that you were a cryptozoologist. So if you look at the tweet, the English translation, he's essentially saying, I'm sharing two photos of our supervision of the Mayan train works. One taken by an engineer 3 days ago, apparently shows an aluche. Another by Diego Prieto of a splendid pre-Hispanic sculpture in Ekbalam. Everything is mystical.
And illuminated.
Or we could do a different read. Yeah, like everything is mystical.
Bro.
He's having this weird kind of McConaughey Harrelson moment, mm-hmm. I think.
Bodhisattva, my guy.
and he's serious about it. But people have already started asking some questions. I guess we should say the Maya train is a railway that's going to be about 1,000 miles long, and it's been pitched as a way to spark local economic development where it's being constructed.
Is he using this as an argument against this project?
I don't know. It reminded me of the stories from Iceland, wherein construction companies will build roads around what they see as the home of spirits, right?
Trolls even, or mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so this thing goes viral. Everybody thinks he's joking. He emphatically is not. And then people start looking into the actual photo he posted, which you can see online, Twitter, wherever. And the image does not have metadata. So we don't really know. We can't really prove who took it or when it was taken. And this is interesting because the photo itself might be older than the president appears to believe. In fact, it's nearly identical to another photo from 2021, which is why it was a little trick question when I asked, have you guys seen this photo before?
Yeah, but it wasn't described as that creature. It was described as a witch.
Yes. Yeah.
It strikes a bit of a witchy figure. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the outline, the glowing eyes also reminds me of a Thai film called Uncle Boon Me, Who Can Recall His Past Lives.
Oh, yeah.
It has some kind of woodland time traveling spirit type things that are like almost look like the way shadow people are depicted in terms of those like kind of waking nightmare situations that we've discussed, sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite horror movies later in the week, I believe. Matt, you found something, and I know you were looking in the Mexican news sources as well. So you found something that talks about how this photograph is probably older than the president of Mexico believes, or at least believed in his tweet.
Yes. And as you said, it was from 2021. Mm-hmm. And it's on debate.com.mx. And it was posted on, it looks like February 10th, 2021. I think that's how the date is written. Yeah, and it's saying that this was an alleged witch that was caught up in a tree at a very specific place, General Terran Nuevo León.
Mm-hmm. And this does remind me very much of our Duende episode from a while back, if you remember. What we have to realize is that there's an interesting parallel of double think in many cultures wherein someone will say, I consider myself a pretty skeptical person, give me the facts. But then also traditionally, there are some things that I'm just going to say, hey, maybe they're out there. It's kind of the way Iceland treats their culture's belief in the supernatural. That's how a lot of different countries will treat belief in ghosts or spirits, you know? And the question here for a lot of the experts, including folklorists, the question is, why did the president of Mexico, why is he coming out in support of the existence of these creatures who are kind of, they're often described as like tiny and short and hairy. You know, they're little scamps too. They won't like poison your well or kill your firstborn, but they're going to open up the gate and let the goats out, you know, or they're going to like
the Yule
put your
lads.
Shoes in different places.
Remember the Yule lads, Ben?
And
I believe, is that Icelandic culture?
Oh, the Yule lads. I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with us naming hackers on air, but I don't want to mess with the Yule lads.
Sausage sniffer.
Yeah.
They all or sausage swiper, names. Doorway Whoa. Sniffer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them.
They do little tricks. They do weird stuff.
Yeah, they all have their little moves. That's Iceland. Yes.
Correct. Yep.
And they used to, you're right, and they used to be much more dangerous back in the day or regarded as such, which happens a lot with folklore. With this, I don't know, it's strange because you can see it's reported in the New York Times, it's in the Guardian, and a lot of folks are saying, or a lot of folks are conjecturing that this was like a tongue-in-cheek human interest move on the part of the president.
It worked.
I'm not sure. It worked. We're talking about it, you know, and this is where we're keeping this one short because I'm gearing up for some more paranormal stuff. We got to get back to it. So we don't want to say everything about this, but I did want to end on a question for our fellow conspiracy realist, which is this. Do you live in a part of the world where belief in the supernatural is still to a degree prevalent? If so, what are the spirits or the creatures that people talk about? And equally as important, do you think the actual president of Mexico, do you think that he genuinely believes in creatures like this, the Aluxes or the Aluxes, spelled A-L-U-X-E-S? Would love to know your thoughts. You can hit us up in any variety of means or platforms, or just, you know, tell your favorite mysterious tree elf to travel our way in Atlanta, Georgia, and we'll speak to them directly. It'd be cool if we had them on air. You know, dream big. Matt's like, yeah, sure, buddy. Okay, so like we said, we've got a lot of stuff in the mix in the next few weeks. There are some big things happening, so we're going to keep this one a little bit shorter. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and we're going to end with some potentially good news for the future.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And we're back, and Gentlemen, have you seen the film Armageddon or perhaps Deep Impact?
Yes.
Or any number of other asteroid-related disaster films, disasteroid films.
So many times.
Deep Impact.
Yeah, Armageddon. Yeah, for sure. There's others. It's definitely a genre. I think probably Armageddon is the one that we think of the most. Don't know if that one got a Criterion release. I think that The Rock definitely did. But Armageddon is also a, oh gosh, what's the guy's name? Bruckheimer? Is that his name? One of those big, blustery blockbuster movies about a ragtag band of everymen and some scientists that go to outer space to land on a doomsday asteroid that's careening towards planet Earth.
Armageddon was Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. I confused Bruckheimer and Bay. Yeah, Bay is the Transformers guy, but they're both, yeah, they're similar.
He's
they're
known for his subtle plot construction.
Very much so. Yeah, so this asteroid depicted in the film Armageddon would potentially breach Earth's atmosphere and cause all kinds of hellish chaos, you know, potentially if it hit in the ocean, you know, it caused tidal waves and all of that kinds of stuff. There's truth to that. I mean, there, you know, if a large body were to collide and it were big enough, and, you know, we've always heard about, oh, it'll burn up. Anyone that hits will probably burn up in the atmosphere before it hits Earth. If it were sufficiently large, like planet sized or something, that would be bad because it wouldn't entirely burn up probably. And you hope that Uncle Sam and his government are considering this, coming up with some kind of, you know, plan. And yes, this is very true. They have been doing that. Of course, we've got the Space Force, which is not directly tied to this. We also have a program that NASA has been working on for some time now called DART. I think we've discussed DART at some point.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, it's part of NASA's planetary defense strategy, and it stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test. And Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland, were also involved. And the idea is to send essentially a small spacecraft on a collision course with an asteroid that could potentially be, you know, bad news for planet Earth. And they did that thing. And to have NASA describe it, after 10 months flying in space, NASA's Double Asteroid Redirection Test, the world's first planetary defense technology demonstration, successfully impacted its asteroid target on Monday, the agency's first attempt to move an asteroid in space. So this is interesting. I think this is very an interesting distinction. In the movie Armageddon that we've been talking about, the goal was to put explosives into the thing, like drill down in it. They have like one guy, I think Bruce Willis's character is like a drilling expert, and that's a big part of it, why they have to have him. It's got to be him. And, you know, fill the thing with dynamite or some equivalent and blow it up into much smaller pieces, which seems like it would also cause multiple problems. But this is not their goal. Their goal is to move it to alter its course. And if you theoretically moved it enough, you know, as far enough away, just a little bit of movement, even in the time it would take for such a, you know, asteroid to reach Earth, probably would steer clear of it entirely.
That's the dream. And that's, we were talking about DART back in 2022, right? When they first gave this a go. And it's really impressive too. I mean, I think it's easy to sit on planet Earth and say, well, I saw Armageddon and I think you all could do better.
Right.
But they're doing massive science.
Make it more of a show, you know, whatever happened to showmanship. But no, this is the smart move.
The really cool thing about this is the reason why they even targeted this asteroid, which was actually two asteroids, a larger one and a smaller one. And they targeted the small one and had that impact hit the small one because it has a smaller mass, which increases the probability that they're actually going to make an impact, a deep impact, on the on the orbit of that thing, the smaller one, around the larger asteroid, right?
Right. That would be Dimorphos.
Yep.
Is the small one, and the Chonker is Didymos.
There you go.
Yeah. Who is now shortened his name to just Diddy.
Mm-hmm. It's a rebranding for the
only
next album.
That name moving forward. I learned a new word today. It makes sense. It's easy to put this on the end of most things, but a moonlet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Dimorphos is.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's an asteroid moonlet. And when we say small, it's still a big old fella, but 160 meters in diameter, whereas the larger buddy is 780 meters in diameter.
Yeah. But the cool thing to me, guys, is that the whole reason they target it is so they could measure the orbit of the small one around the big one to measure the change, to see if it actually did enough, or, you know, had enough of an impact that we could use that same idea and target just a single asteroid that was headed toward Earth and make enough of a change where it just misses us. And then hopefully for the next however many hundred years would continue to miss us.
Proof of concept.
Yeah. And it
totally
worked.
Is what this.
It did work. Yeah. The quote, this is, by the way, directly from the NASA press release about this. And the quote comes from Thomas Zurbuchen, seems like a German name, associate administrator for the Science Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters in Washington, And he said this: planetary defense is a globally unifying effort that affects everyone living on Earth. Now we know we can aim a spacecraft with the precision needed to impact even a small body. Because, again, that's the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
Easier to do it with a larger body. And then I guess you just got to take into calculation the mass and build your spacecraft accordingly, one would imagine. Because you got to match it, one would think, to make it move. And I want to talk more about that in a second, too. But he goes on, now he can aim a spacecraft with the precision needed to impact even a small body in space. Just a small change in its speed is all we need to make a significant difference in the path an asteroid travels.
Yeah.
Dope.
I mean, yeah, sure. There's a little bit of math involved, as you might assume. But I also want to posit, just for the good folks at NASA, a possible money-saving measure. This could hit two problems with one figurative non-asteroid stone.
Superman.
I was going to say super pigs. You're really close. What, like, they're so good at ruining environment. What if we just have, like, a whole passel of super pigs and just shoot them en masse into the asteroid?
Then it's like that cobra problem, Ben, you know, or the rat problem, where you know, deploy all these creatures to solve a problem. And then now we have feral space pigs.
Feral space pigs. I know, man. I'm just like, roll the dice at this point with all the problems in the world, you know. And I love when we talk about space. You guys know that. And I'm bringing up the pigs because it feels you got to find something to do with them.
It's still fresh, and we're going to talk more about that, I think, in our next episode, in this week's Listener Mail episode. But we can't talk about space, by the way, without dropping some absolutely bonkers acronyms.
Oh, please.
We already have DART, which is the double, by the way, double asteroid. It's like a double fantasy, you know, double asteroid redirection test. Then we also have some cutting edge tech that was associated with this mission. One of them is called Draco, and this is the spacecraft's only measurement instrument. And that stands for the Didymos Reconnaissance and Asteroid Camera for Optical Navigation.
Beautiful.
The navigation's extra. But why not just have it be Dracon? I always wonder about that when they have an extra word that isn't part of the acronym. It's just like implied. I don't care for that. Dracon sounds cooler than Draco even, but maybe not. I don't know.
No, I think you're making a really, really solid point. All three of us have seen some pretty awkward acronyms. And, you know, it's no secret that on this show, it's a mystery to us as to how those acronyms get chosen. Mm-hmm. Like, whose job is it? Is it considered, you know, kind of a crap job that an intern gets? Or is it the privilege of the people at the top who are saying, like, I have spent decades at NASA. It's my turn to come up with a name.
And do you, like, work backwards from the cool, buzzy-sounding word, you know, to get what the actual letters stand for? Because these are all pretty sciencey words. But I guess maybe part of that is deciding whether or not to leave one out so that you can make the cool word. I bet it's some combination of the two. The next one is Smart Nav. Of course, is navigation, but you can't put an N after smart, because then how do you say that? Smarten?
Smart.
You could, but it would be, it doesn't really read very well. So Smart Nav, and the smart stands for small body. They've chosen to hyphenate that, which I guess is grammatically correct. Small body maneuvering autonomous real-time navigation. Smart Nav. That was another tool, a control system.
So are we saying first, thank you, brilliant, brilliant space experts, for making some real progress in trying to save the world, but also sharpen up your acronyms. Is that what we're saying?
No question. Always, okay, always a twofer there. I'm trying to find this in the release. One would presume that, I mean, that is a one-way mission. I mean, the spacecraft is lost, right? Like, it's smashed.
Yeah, at this point, it's not coming back.
I don't think so.
Like, I think that would be a whole other level of complexity, a whole other bag of space badgers to make something that could boomerang successfully. But it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not. And one thing they don't typically, I guess, put in these kinds of press releases is how much the thing cost. But one would presume, knowing what we know about like intercontinental ballistic missiles and even things like that, something with this level of tech, probably not cheap. So a test like this damn well better have been successful. And it was. But we do have a good news, a bit of good news to leave off with on this. We are not expected to be in danger of an impact, a deep impact by any planetary body, you know, or whatever, you know, asteroid for at least 100 years. Because you got to remember, it took the spacecraft 10 months to even reach this destination, to do the thing, to make that impact. So we're probably okay for the time being. But it's good to be prepared. Better to have it and do the one test than just have them in reserve for when the time does come, if we still even have technology and infrastructure by then, if the internet hasn't been erased by solar coronal mass ejections or whatever.
We talked about this last time, but the first thing humanity has to do is see these things before they hit us. And we're doing better. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
You say we've been slacking off a little bit on watching the skies?
Nobody.
No, making progress from doomed to in a terrible situation.
Hey, there you go. I would say nobody who is doing that work is slacking off. It's just, there's a lot of sky.
Yeah. I certainly was not throwing shade at any individual sky watcher. I just mean, probably there's not enough eyeballs overall, whether they be virtual or otherwise. But why can't that stuff be? I mean, I'm surely there are systems in place that would set off some kind of klaxon, like in the movies, you know, if one of these things is sighted. But again, we're talking far, far away. And I guess it could be fragments that are new that then, and if they're smaller, they travel faster. I'm not sure.
I mean, it could be the atmosphere is very good at eating things, but when they enter, but also there are problems beyond asteroids that potentially could pose a much more difficult threat to address. I'm thinking of gamma rays, gamma wave burst in particular. These things can travel so fast that you kind of have a moment to know it's going to happen, and then you're gone. Shout out to our pal Josh Clark with his fascinating podcast from a few years back called The End of the World, where I think he talks about the gamma burst issue. But one problem at a time. I mean, this is awesome science, and this is good news. This is good news, and this research has to continue. It's vital. It's like the infrastructure problem. People don't know how important it is until something goes wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I've got to wrap this up with a shout out to somebody else. Comedian John Daly, who y'all probably are familiar with. He's on Comedy Bang Bang a lot. And your mention of gamma rays reminded me of a hilarious Red Hot Chili Peppers parody song that he created called Abracadabra LaFornia.
Yep.
And it is just absolutely spot on. But there's a really great lyric when he starts rapping like Anthony Kiedis. He says, "I drink an Alabama Slammer with your sexy ass grandma. The Hulk turns green when the rays get gamma."
Bars.
I just think that is brilliant wordplay, if you ask.
Bars.
Beautiful. Also, just a reminder here before you end it, Noel. There was a meteor, a very small one, about a meter in diameter. A meter meteor.
It was a
but
meteor
not too meaty
that's a meteor.
Of a meteor.
It could have been meteor.
A meteor meter. Diameter meteorite.
Ooh, it's fine. Let's do this.
Okay,
come on.
Anyway, it was in mid-February when just this tiny little meteor, it struck Earth, burned up in the atmosphere, as Ben said, the atmosphere ate it. But it was only discovered like an hour or two just before it hit. So basically, we had enough time to go, oh, crap. And then it burned up. But it was small enough to where it didn't cause any damage. But that kind of thing is happening all the time.
Right. So if ever you have a relaxing afternoon and you're not worried about something, just imagine, just look up at the sky. And imagine all the stuff that's out there. We are so fun.
By the way, that was the seventh time a meteor has been seen just before it made impact. Seventh time in history.
Like train derailments. These are like cosmic train derailments. They happen way more often than you think. And with that, you know, maybe we should consult the president of Mexico. Maybe he has some hot tips on how elves could come into play.
He seems like he'd be fun at parties.
maybe we can find out. Maybe we can officially invite him on the show. In the meantime, we would love for you to be part of the show, folks. Let us know your thoughts. We cannot wait to hear from you, especially if you have experience in WETSEC in particular. I think we're all getting caught on that one. Or if you work for the Mexican government, or if you are on the front lines of protecting Earth from cosmic threats. Any of that, bonus points if you got leads for another episode in the future. Our best episodes come from you specifically. If you have one burning in your mind right now and you need to tell us immediately, well, we're here to help you out. We try to be easy to find online.
Boy, do we ever. So easy. You can find us as Conspiracy Stuff on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, where we have our conspiracy group. Here's where it gets crazy. So that one's called. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number. You can call it. It's a voicemail system. Call 1-833-STDWYTK. That's STDWYTK. You just put it in your head. Let it keep rolling. Also, put that into your contacts. Make sure you do that. That's very important. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname. Say whatever you want. You've got 3 minutes. Please, at some point, tell us if we can use your name and message on the air and your voice. If you don't have time to do that or you don't want to do that, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.